Brandon, love this new Diamond Lame album called Terrorizer. And, you know, I never really knew you had another album until I went and actually checked this thing out.
Well, thanks, man. You know, it's funny because this album is kind of a rebirth of sorts. You know, the band's been on for a long time. Myself and the other group, Garrett, one of the guitar players. You know, we started the thing when we were just kids, living up in San Jose. So, you know, it's taken on many faces and evolved quite a bit. But, you know, it's always retained those rock and metal elements, I guess now more refined than ever.
Well, you have this new album entitled Terrorizer, and you talked a little bit about the band kind of having a rebirth and that you've been around a long time. And what led up to this rebirth? And talk a bit about your new album entitled Terrorizer.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you start something and it's interesting when you're young, I don't want to say you're naive, but you're in the constant quest of learning new things and getting better at your craft. That's what Jared and I did for the better part of our youth. Living up in San Jose, we moved down to Los Angeles in 2009 and kind of started to put the puzzle pieces of the long-term vision together. And we had an album out in 2011, 2013, and then all the pieces just came together over the course of last year. And that's what we have now with our most recent body of work, Terrorizer. That came out May 10th, so just several weeks ago. And it's really the stars aligning for Diamond Lame. All the pieces of the puzzle are there, and we're just firing on all cylinders. And it was a really great experience putting these collective songs together and just the vibe and energy surrounding the whole situation.
I think the vibe and the energy of the album is very, very good. In fact, the very first song called My Enemy, I think that is such an amazing opening track. It really sets the album up with just a very energetic beginning track. Did you think you'd have as much energy coming back?
Well, it's funny, you know. It's like making a meal. Every little ingredient is going to have an adverse effect on the outcome. And Dave Van Dyke, the drummer, was the last part of the equation. That was always our cross to bear over the years, finding a drummer who's committed, who held it down, and who really possessed the end game vision. And we totally got that with Dave, and he's inspired all of us greatly. And we're all just performing, writing, executing at an all-time high. So we're really just riding the wave, and you know, Diamond Lame has come into our own, so to speak, with this. So the bar has been raised by everybody individually and collectively as a whole. And that's why I think we have the product that we do have. We're just charging on forth with that mentality in mind.
Now, for those of you out there, or for those people out there that don't know much about Diamond Lame, maybe give people a little bit of a history lesson on the band and how things have evolved up to this point.
Sure. Well, like I said, Jared Reese and myself, we formed this band over a decade ago when we were just teenagers in high school, you know, bonded over a love of heavy metal. You know, everybody else in high school was on the new metal and the emo bandwagon. We were just sticking it tried and true with Metallica and Pantera, Black Label Society. Really just latching onto those, you know, bombastic hard rock metal bands. And we started playing and writing and learning and getting better. And we had a, you know, series of demos over the course of the 2000s. And it really all came to head when we moved down to Los Angeles in 2009. Met our producer, Tom Chandler. We met Ray Zhang. And we started to put the band and find those quintessential components that really just were the commitment. You know, finding people who possess your vision, your integrity, your work ethic, that's always the challenge, to find the people who are on the same page. Much like any relationship. And so, World Without Heroes, we kind of rediscovered our sound, honed in on the things that we really loved, which are, you know, huge guitars, great hooky melodies, rhythm solos, rock and drums, and just kind of exploiting and playing to those elements. So when we did World Without Heroes in 2011, we did 50 demos for that album, 10 of which made the cut. We did so many because it was a very exploratory time. It was just Jared and I. You know, we did everything. We did all the writing. We did all the recording. And so to introduce new people into the mix, you learn more about them. You learn more about yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, so on and so forth. So after doing that in 2011, we toured relentlessly. We had a lot of momentum behind that. And then we got Frankie in the mix, which is our second guitar player. Jared's counterpart. I mean, they're both lead shred machines. So it's really a blessing in that respect to have two phenomenal guitar players in the band. We did EP Sapphire last year, and then pretty much right away went back into the studio once we got Dave in the mix, and it just flowed very naturally. We thought we were going to do the same kind of thing, recording 5 songs for an EP, put out a mini album, but we ended up doing 20 songs, 9 of which are on Terrorizer, and the other 9, 10, maybe we're going to record in the fall for a late release coming up later this year.
You know, I'm coming from a similar situation that you have, where, you know, the band I'm in really hasn't put out an album in a very, very long time, and finally it's going to. And, you know, did you have any of those people that came out and said, hey, look, we're really happy you're coming out with something. It's been a long time coming, and people that have basically stuck with the music you've made in the past and have been waiting this long. And what kind of response have you?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, once you have the diehard fans, you know, the originals, to continually put out new stuff and demonstrate your growth and evolution as a writer and a performer and as bands, that's always something special because they have a direct counterpoint for reference of what it was like at the very beginning. The response as a whole from Terrorizer has been overwhelmingly positive. We've got a great licensing situation with Fox. They took a shine to the album and have been using it as a soundtrack for a lot of their sports programming nationally. And just the reviews, the reception live, how the songs are digested, and it seems that people aren't getting tired of them. And I constantly get messages, you know, mentioned in reviews that, hey, you know, I listen to this over and over, and I'm not quite yet sick of it. So I'll take that as a thumbs up.
Well, I was reading the bio, too. You had people using your music for commercials and a lot of other cool stuff. And, you know, maybe talk a bit about how that came up for you and what has that done so far for the band.
It started with the World of Light Heroes album, pretty organically. Friendship that I had ended up, she worked for a licensing company. And after a while on down the road, he said, hey, you know, one guy, submit your stuff, you never know. And then, boom, like that, Fox was using a couple of our World of Light Heroes tunes for some of their NBA spots. And so we had the foot in the door for that relationship. So when I got them an advanced copy of Terrorizer, they were just all about it. Made us the featured artist of the month for May this past year, and we're just going to keep a good thing going and keep delivering the goods, and hopefully they'll continue to spread it.
Well, it's pretty cool because, you know, you're getting a lot of response from the States, which typically for a band like you guys, most of the responses you probably would get would be from Europe, but you're getting a lot of people from the U.S. checking you out because of the whole thing being the soundtrack and being used in commercials and stuff like that. And, you know, what kind of responses are you really getting? Are you getting a lot from the States, from Europe?
You know, we are getting a lot of love overseas. I think the thirst for heavy metal and rock never really left, where, of course, the tides in the U.S. are these days driven by top 40 and hip-hop and indie rock, whatever you want to call it. But we have been getting a lot of positive response and feedback, and people seem refreshed to still hear those elements of traditional heavy metal, but with kind of a new twist on it. So, yes, to answer your question, the feedback has been good. It's been very positive, and the response from the same side is always a good thing. And I think that's a telling sign of things to come, because I feel like the worm's turning. You can only do the same thing for so long before it circles back around and people get hungry for something new.
So do you have any touring plans or anything going on that the band's maybe playing live in some places out there?
Sure, we played a lot around Southern California area since the release of our album. We have a couple things lined up on the books. We're going to work up and down the coast, to Seattle and back, all the way down to San Diego, kind of exploit this region. Our plans are to scoot out over to Vegas and as east as we can. We're always sniffing out opportunities to find feasible, realistic touring situations. Because we're not a band that's just going to do a vanity tour just for the sake of doing it. Now, I know a lot of bands, they go, hey, look at my calendar, chock full with 60 dates, but they're playing for 3 people in the middle of nowhere on a Tuesday. So you got to kind of leverage your opportunity cost and see what's going to be most beneficial, particularly in the world that we're living in now, where maybe those finances could be appropriated elsewhere that would expose your music even greater.
Yeah.
Sure, nothing beats getting out and doing the woodshed thing, and I love that. I love playing live. I think, you know, that's where the magic really happens. and where the songs really get translated into something personal. But like I said, we're seeking out those opportunities and seeing what we can do to get combined to support their band on the national stage.
Mm-hmm.
To break into that corner of the industry is always tough because there's so many gatekeepers. To be able to penetrate, even though you know you have something quality that may be standing head and shoulders above many other bands who are currently utilizing those opportunities, it's a tough, windy road to be able to penetrate and get it into the right hands of those decision makers.
Yeah.
Now, have you run into a lot of obstacles? Has the TV thing really helped you at all?
The TV thing definitely exposed us to some people who otherwise didn't know we existed. Just, if nothing else, by watching TV and going, huh, I really did this song. And then they blaze their name across the screen or Twitter handle or what have you. And then they come check it out and say, hey, you know, I saw you guys on the hockey game or whatever it may be. So that's been really cool. In terms of, you know, breaking into the industry at the next level, we've been DIY since the beginning, self-managed, self-booked, self-everything. So to have a big company like Fox Sports on our side championing our music, that's a big validation, especially, you know, inside the industry. But that's not to say we're getting any love. We're banging out our door and it's tough to even get a response because, you know, in this day and age, their contact information, everything is so accessible that they're just getting bludgeoned with people trying to bang down their door saying, me. So I'm confident that if we continue on the path of exploding our music to as many people as possible and continuing to build a buzz in our region and abroad, then it'll come to a week pop on other people's radar.
Now, being out in Los Angeles, though, you have a lot of stuff going on out there, and maybe talk a bit about what you're seeing like over there.
Well, you know, I think it's a mixed bag because while Los Angeles, certainly at one point or another, was, you know, the mecca of hard rock and heavy metal, there's 500 bands on any given night playing in Los Angeles. So that's, you know, even more on the weekend. So, you know, 5,000 bands every week are playing. 5,000 different bands. So, to be able to find your audience, find your fans, build a following, establish a reputation of delivering quality live performances and excellent execution, that's always a challenge. That being said, I think the cream rises to the top. Just because there's that many bands doesn't mean they're all good ones. So, being religiously a student of the game, wanting to get better and improve, you have to, because there's going to be somebody working harder than you. There's going to be somebody better than you. So there's always something that you can learn. In terms of the club, ever since we've been living in 2009, I've seen a shift, even from to now. It's an ebb and a flow situation. A lot of the key spots have closed down or changed ownership or changed booking styles. So to find those avenues and those venues that are really conducive and supportive of hard rock and heavy metal, that's a challenge. But for the ones that do exist, we thrive on it. And our community and bands like us, we thrive on that. The fans know where they can go to expect certain types of music.
Now, do you have a group of guys or a group of bands that you normally play shows with on a regular basis? And, you know, maybe talk a little bit about the people that you're usually basically playing out with on, you know, maybe a monthly basis.
You know, there's a lot of quality bands out here. Wide variety of styles. One of my favorites are Delta Rose. They're young cats. They're playing almost AC/DC meets George Thorogood, ZZ Top, blues rock. Really, really good musicians, really good dudes, close buddies of ours, so I always try to catch the Delta Rose show whenever possible.
Now, if I were to get in your car and turn your iPod on and plug it in, you know, what would you be listening to right now?
You know, I got a wide variety and mix of everything. I've been digging on the new Black Label Society record lately. I've even been throwing it back to a band called Man Made God. They're from the early 2000s. They were on Rick Rubin's American Recording. They only had one record, but still stands out to me, and I constantly find myself flipping back to it because they're just solid rock.
Now, do you have any websites or places that people can go to check out your music and find out what you have going on.
Absolutely. The main hub for all of that action is going to be DiamondLaneRocks.com. DiamondLaneRocks.com. You're going to be able to link you to all of our socials, which are pretty much /DiamondLane. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all /DiamondLane. SoundCloud is official DiamondLane. But if you Google it, it's going to be the first thing that pops up. YouTubers, Diamond Lane videos, and make sure you go in and check out our new video for The Enemy. That was the first video that we released off of Terrorizer. We get great feedback, great response, and picking up a little traction on its own organically, which is always a nice sign. And we're going to be recording another video in the next couple of weeks here.
Well, you know, the old saying goes, man, you have months and years to write the first album, but you got to write the next one and do the next one 3 months. And do you have any songs, or have you started anything for the next record for after this one?
Like I mentioned, when we did Terrorizer, we ended up with more songs than we knew what to do with. So we're going to revisit those and start recording in September, I do believe. So the bulk of the new record's pretty much already written. It just needs the block.
Well, I have one last question for you, and of course, the question I ask everybody, do you have any last words to say to all the fans that are going to be back in
Hey, I just want to say thanks for giving Diamond Lane an opportunity to rock your iPod and get it dialed in on your playlist. It's you, every single one of you that are supporting hard rock and heavy metal, that's going to carry the torch for the next generation. All the bands that we've known and have come to love, they're not going to be around for too many more decades. So it's time to pass the torch. It's time to support the future, because that's what's going to be left when these guys are dead and gone. So thank you for giving Diamond Lane an opportunity to rock.